You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation without an S. You know, that's a common mistake. People talk about the book of Revelations. You know, and they'll put an S on it. It's full of revelations, but it is the revelation. Literally, actually, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm teaching on end times, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But it was his testimony that he gave to his angel to send to his servant John to give to us, and it ought to bring hope for us. It's not a negative book. I mean, it tells you what's going to come to pass on the earth and judgment and so on and so forth. But hey, good news is you and I are going up. Hallelujah. I believe we're going up in the fourth chapter, which that's another teaching altogether, but we're going to wave goodbye, you know, as we go off to escape the wrath of God to come upon the earth. In fact, the Bible even says, it says, blessed are those who read and hear and keep the words of this prophecy. Right in the first chapter, he tells us that. So it should bring us hope. Amen. But that's not what I'm teaching on. I don't know. I had this stirring in me. Sometimes I know exactly what I'm going to minister on. Sometimes I'm on a series. Sometimes I just come ready with two or three different messages, and then I'm up here worshiping or whatever, and God just changed it. You know, I really try to preach by the Holy Ghost and preach by the leading of the Holy Ghost, because he is the one in charge. Amen, not me. I do my studying. I do my praying, but I'm always at his mercy, and thank God he's merciful. Hallelujah. And so we were singing that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And I had some things I wanted to share that kind of tied in with this. And I thought, well, I'll just go that direction because that's what I'm feeling pulled to do. You know, the fire you can't put out, that's the one that probably God. Are you with me? People wonder, how do you hear God? How do you know what God wants you to do? Well, the voice you can't still, the fire you can't put out, the one that just cannot get away from. You can run, but you can't hide. When the hound of heaven gets on your trail, I mean, you might as well just stop and let him catch up. It's not, you're never going to shake him. Are you with me? And that's what I always go with. I just go with what's ever burning in me, even though I have plans. And, you know, those, I assume God want me to do that. But if he checks it and goes somewhere else, I'll do that. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. You know, there's a powerful thing concerning your testimony. I think of, you know, this is not just a doctrine. It's not just a teaching. It's not just a concept. It's not just a religion that we're teaching here. We're actually teaching lives change and testimonies. I'm a testimony to what God has done. You're a testimony to what God has done. I rarely share my testimony. I rarely share what happened, you know, in my life. Every once in a while I allude to it or whatever. But there's a power in sharing your testimony. There's a power in telling what Jesus has done for you. I often say the greatest way to witness to someone is tell them what Jesus did for you. Because there's nobody that's more of authority on that than you. Nobody knows you more than you except God. Amen? And anybody you're talking to, you are an eyewitness to the experience of salvation. Eyewitness to the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. An eyewitness to the experience of healing. An eyewitness to the experience of peace and joy and answered prayer. Hallelujah. Being delivered and set free and pulled out of all kinds of messes. No one's been through what you've been through. No one's had the experience you had. Are you with me? Because it was you that had it. They might have similar ones, but you can testify more than any preacher. Billy Graham couldn't tell your testimony better than you can. Are you with me? Or Roberts couldn't stand up here and make it any more powerful. It happened to you, and no one has more proof than you. I think of the blind man, you know, that was healed, and they're questioning back and forth. Who's this, the guy that healed you? This Jesus, who is he? So, well, I don't know. He says, you know, all I know is I was blind, now I see. And the Bible says they couldn't say anything about it because this miracle had taken place and there was no denying it. Are you with me? So there's no denying that Jesus has changed my life. And you've heard some of my testimony. I had a pretty rough background, and my dad was an alcoholic. He did get sobered up and got an AA, and thank God. And got you know, married my mother the third time. And I always laugh about that, but they loved each other and couldn't live with each other and couldn't live without each other. But anyway, I've got the three marriage certificates. My dad passed away. I got a bunch of the legal documents. And I actually have three marriage certificates of my parents where they married each other three times. Two divorce decrees and three marriage certificates. And I grew up in that kind of environment, you know, and got on drugs at an early age. I left home right before I was 16. And I married Brenda when I was 17. Yeah. Brenda was 16. I mean, that was my life back then. I mean, Brenda actually was a good girl. She went to church up to the time we got saved. Until I got married, excuse me. That would be tough, wouldn't it? Well, I got saved, I quit church. No. We got married, she quit going to church. And, of course, I was doing a lot of drugs at the time, and all my friends were all druggies. And I worked. You know, I actually sold drugs. And before we got married, that's how I got the down payment for our mobile home. It's terrible, isn't it, when you think about it? But I went through that. I worked for plumbing companies for a few years, well, year and a half, three different plumbing companies, and went to Houston. When I got to Houston, there was a guy that witnessed to me. His name was J.D. Love. He was my supervisor or foreman on this job. I had gone to Upjohn Chemical as a spray painter's helper to work as a laborer, trying to make some money in Houston because it played out there in center, and Brent and I moved to Houston. And when I got down there, I got on this job, and this foreman, J.D., he was from the Big Thicket area, and he was a Pentecostal guy, real country, real laid back, not that educated as it were, but he loved Jesus. And he came up to me, and he started witnessing to me right away. And being lost and uncouth and undone as I was, I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in anything. Didn't believe there was a heaven or a hell. I don't know where I got to that point, but I just got to the point, didn't believe anything. And so I remember when he started witnessing to me that I grabbed his hands and I said, "Oh, you believe in God?" And he says, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, let's just talk to him right now." And I cussed God for everything he's worth right there in front of the guy. And he got embarrassed and got red. He didn't holler at me, didn't scream, just turned around and walked off. And I thought, well, that poor guy, he really does believe that. That really was going through my mind. I thought, boy, he is messed up. Seriously, this is where I was. Do you know what? Next day, never brought it up again. Didn't fire me. I figured he would fire me by then. You know, I thought that was it. I lost that job. Man, I'm going to have to go look for another one. Didn't fire me. Next day, came back, started witnessing to me again. That went on for about 6 months. And about 6 months of that, I got to the point where I thought, well, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is one. Maybe I'm missing it here somewhere. Maybe there's a heaven, maybe there's a hell. I mean, Brenda used to talk to me about the Lord, and I'd say, Brenda will tell you this, I'd say, honey, you believe that, I don't. I don't believe in that. If you want to believe that, that's fine, but don't talk to me about that. And Brenda, you remember me telling you that. I mean, I didn't believe in anything, didn't want to hear it. And before I got saved, Brenda started going to church again. There in Houston, started going to Thomas Avenue Baptist. Yeah, where my aunt and uncle went. There I was still doing drugs, I still messed up, you know, and I never will forget the two guys came to the door from the church. Knocked on the door, I opened the door, and they said, "Is Brenda here?" And I said, "Yes, she is." And I stepped outside and closed the door, and I said, "What do you want with her?" I didn't realize they were from church. I didn't know what to do. I looked down and saw those Bibles. They said they were from the church that she was going to. I said, "Oh, okay, well, come on in." And I let them in. I went to the bedroom, let them talk to her. You know, I thought, well, okay, I don't want to get involved in this thing with the church and Bibles and all that stuff. But there was a breaking point. One of the breaking points in my life, my spiritual walk, I guess you'd say, is one day this guy, J.D. Love, my foreman, came in. This is after months of witnessing to me, and he came in and he went to a Pentecostal church, a little Pentecostal church in a Big Thicket area in Rye, Texas. I mean, the church probably didn't have 20, 25 people in it. And he said, "Say, I put your name in a prayer jar." I said, "What?" He said, "I put your name in a prayer jar." I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, we got this jar at the front of the church." He said, "We put people's names on it, and we put it in there, and we're praying that you get saved." I said, "You take my name out of that jar." I remember telling him, I said, "You get my name out of that jar." He said, "No, I can't do that." He says, "We're praying for you to get saved." I said, "You tell those people quit praying for me to save, and you get that name out of that jar." By that point, I'd started realizing there may be a God. Now I'm in trouble. Now they're praying for me, you know. I mean, it was a progressive thing. What I'm saying is don't give up on people just because you get a bad reaction. You never know where people are. And I hadn't been witnessed to, so I didn't know how to react. It took me a long time for that to break down in me. And so there I was. He was, you know, he just kept praying for me and talking about the Lord. Never fazed this guy. He just was the same all the time. I woke up in a new world every day, and this guy was the same every day, you know, always talking about the Lord and always talking about Jesus. And, you know, and so, you know, as it went on, I got to thinking maybe there is a God. So I started reading the book of Revelation. That's always a good thing to do if you don't know the Lord. Just pick up the book of Revelation and read it, you know. But I had burned this Bible and I was reading through it, and man, I just couldn't figure all this stuff out. It was getting crazy, you know, all this stuff going on, and I should have started in John, but I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to do. Brenda's still going to church. This guy's still witnessing to me. I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll just quit. I'll quit everything that I'm doing wrong here. That's what I'll do. So I had some drugs. I put them on a shelf, and I thought, I'll quit those, and I'll quit cussing. That's what I'll do. I quit saying, you know, cuss words. And so about 2 days of that, and man, I'm about as miserable as I can be. I can't handle this. There's no way I can. I cannot quit my drugs. I cannot quit cussing. I just can't quit all this. I thought I had to quit all this to be saved. And finally, I just gave up. And that's the best way I can describe getting saved for me. I just laid down my arms of rebellion. I just took off my guns, as it were, and I quit running. I quit fighting. Because I couldn't fight love. I just couldn't fight it. God didn't hate me. I realized that. He wasn't against me. I realized that. He wasn't my enemy. I realized he actually loved me. And you know what? I had no answer to that. I couldn't bow up to that. I couldn't fight that. I couldn't overcome that. And so, you know, a lot of things led up to it. And I remember looking at Chris one day. You've heard me tell the story. He's about a year and a half old. He's on the other side of the table at Chateau Creole Apartments in Red Bluff, Pasadena, Texas. And I was sitting there thinking, maybe there is a hell. Maybe I'm going there. That's all right. I'll just go there. You know, when you're a man, you do anything. You know, you're going to man up and go to hell. That makes about as much sense as our president. But anyway, sorry for that slam. But I was sitting there, and I was looking at Chris, and now I know it was the voice of God. I didn't know it then. And I heard inside of me, yeah, well, you may go to hell, but what if he does? And I never will forget that. It changed me. It was a turning point, a huge turning point in me getting saved, when I realized that my life was not my own, that I could go to hell and my son could go to hell with me because of me, if I did not lead him to the Lord, and I did not tell him about Jesus, and I did not tell him about heaven, and I didn't live that life. I realized that my life was not my own, you know, that it didn't belong to me. And so little by little, this began to wear me down, and finally, I came in one day, I never forget, I came in, I laid down on a floor in a hallway in this apartment, and I had to go pick Chris up at a daycare. Brennan was working downtown Houston, and I'd had a rough day. I was sandblasting the inside of a tank car out on these train cars, and it was hot, and it was May. It wasn't raining like it is right now, but it was 40 years ago. I laid down on my back, and I said, God, I can't do this. I cannot do this. And that was the first time I remember honestly praying, really seeking God, you know, really saying, you know, where I am, talking to him where I am. And I said, Jesus, if you can help me, do something with me. Help me, Jesus. Got up, walked away saved. Didn't know all the ins and outs, didn't understand all the scriptures, but I called on Jesus that day, and Jesus saved me. There's no question about it. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. What did I do? I called on the name of the Lord. I did. I called on Jesus. First time I ever remember doing it. And I started looking for a church the next Sunday. We went to a church, actually it was Church of God Church for Sunday school. Between Sunday school and church, I got up and went to another church, went to the Baptist church Brennan was going to, and went there and wind up going there for a while. And that was an interesting scenario too, because I'd started reading the Bible. Brenna almost lost a husband to Jesus when I got saved, because I was devouring the Word of God. I was reading it, I mean, every day, hours a day, writing notes, putting things on index cards, sticking them on the wall, scriptures that were coming alive to me, because I didn't know anything. It was all fresh to me. It was all new to me. You know, Dr. Galley and I were talking about this morning about underlining scriptures that are good. Well, if you do that, you underline every one of them. That's kind of the way my Bible looked like. Every one of them was highlighted. Every one was underlined because it was all good. It was just, man, I was eating it up. And so we went to this Baptist church. Everybody said, God bless Baptist. Went to this Baptist church, and I went down to join the Baptist church. I felt like I needed to be baptized. I was saved. That's what the scripture says, that, you know, after you're saved, you need to be baptized. And so I believed I was saved. So I asked this pastor at the end of a service if I could be baptized here. And he says, well, I guess you can. He says, well, I need to ask you a question, though. And he says, what's that? I said, well, Mark 16, 9 through 20. I said, if you look at Mark 16, 9 through 20, I said, I've noticed here it says, he that believes and baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and in my name they shall speak with new tongues, and they drink a deadly thing that shall not harm them. And if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I said, now, I don't know what you believe here. I don't know if you believe that or don't believe that. But all I know is I've turned my life over to Jesus, and I'm not going to pick and choose here. I'm just going to believe everything in the Bible. I'm going to believe it from Genesis to Revelation. And so I see that, don't understand that, don't even really know what all that means. And Brenda was just shaking. She kind of knew what Baptists believe. She was sitting beside me. I didn't. I didn't have a clue. And I said, is it okay if I get baptized here? And these are good people. And this is a good man. My aunt and uncle went there, and we went there for several months. And he said, well, of course, you can be baptized here. Many people believe different things about that. You know, you're saved, and you want to be baptized. And so I did. Man, we went to visitation every Tuesday night, and I went out and knocked on doors. I took blocks for Jesus, you know. I mean, I was saved. I'd gotten saved. But this thing's gnawing at me, this whole thing about this speaking in tongues business and this laying hands on the sick, and it's there. I can't deny it. You turn every page, you see it, Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. And, you know, so I went there for a while. I didn't know this particular church was on a campaign against the gifts of the Spirit. Not all Baptists are that way. There's a lot of great Baptist churches. Are you with me? But this particular one, when you got saved there, you got a pamphlet called So Now You're Born Again. And one was five reasons why I do not speak in tongues, and the other one was gifts of healing, why they've passed away. That was the packet you got when you joined the church. I thought, I didn't know any better because I hadn't been to church. So I got them and, you know, looked at them and thought, well, I don't believe that. But I didn't have enough sense to go somewhere else. I just thought, well, you know, they love Jesus, I'm going to keep going there. And I wind up getting invited to this meeting at this church called Lakewood Church to hear this guy named Kenneth Hagin. Danger, Will Robertson, danger, danger. And so I thought, well, I'll go check this out. And this is 1975. Brent and I went over to Lakewood Church, November of 1975, to hear this man named Kenneth Hagin preach. And, man, I never heard anybody preach like that in my life. It was just so simple. He talked about faith. He talked about belief in God. He talked about standing on the Word. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going. And he gave an invitation for people to be saved. I thought, that's great. I'm saved, you know, and good to see those people. Then he gave an invitation for people to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, according to, you know, Acts 2. And then he mentioned Mark 16. And I'm sitting there going, that's what I'm looking for. No one ever asked me that. No one ever brought that up, talked about that. Acts, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And I thought, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. That's what I've been reading. And I stood up, and I noticed Brenda was standing up beside me. And so we went down, and they laid hands on us and prayed for us, you know. And Phil Dow actually was the guy that laid hands on us. You might remember Phil and Maureen Dow. Phil laid hands on me, and, man, I spoke in tongues and, you know, and got home. By the time I got home, I talked myself completely out of it. Hello. But about 3 days later, Brenda is in the extra bedroom over there praying, and I mean, she is praying up storm. Nothing really happened to her. She didn't at the church. But boy, she starts talking in the funniest language over there about 3 days later. I mean, she's ooh, shot by la la my shot la la. I didn't even want to enter the room. I didn't know what was going on in there. And I mean, she got it about 3 days later. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we kept going to Lakewood and trying it out. And finally, you know, somebody said, well, you know, it's just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's speaking in tongues. That's what it says. I mean, what is your explanation if it's not that? I mean, and I said, well, yeah, but I don't really understand it. Well, the Bible says you don't understand it. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 14 says. It says you do not understand. No man understands it. So I said, well, all I did was, and I started, we're coming home from church. And all I did was I started praying. I was driving, and we were talking, and And they said, well, why don't you just do what you did? I said, well, okay. So I said, I kept going. I thought I was getting into this. Now I'm starting to feel the Spirit. You know, all of a sudden I realized I had taken the wrong exit. I'm going the wrong way. And I realized, you know what? This is the Holy Ghost. It was, you start it, you got to do it. But it took me on a different track and a different journey. I mean, it just empowered me. All of a sudden, these scriptures on healing started coming alive. These scriptures on miracles started coming alive. These scriptures on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit began to come alive. You see it in Acts 10 where they spoke in tongues. Acts 19 where they spoke in tongues. It didn't save you, but it's for those that are saved. It's the promise of the Father that He's given to those who have been born again. And so we got real involved in Lakewood at that time. And, of course, you know the story. Brother Osteen was our pastor for years. And I was sitting in a service in May. May's Memorial Day weekend. May of 1976, back when I was 5 years old. In 1976, I was sitting in a service on a Monday night. And this lady was ministering on the 12 spies out of Numbers 13 chapter. He talked about the 10 spies, a bad report, and 2 had the good report. And right in the middle of the sermon, the Spirit of God came on me, and I saw a vision of my hometown. I never had a vision. I'd just been saved a year. I really wasn't into all that. I believed it, but I didn't really understand it. I had like an open vision, and I could see very plainly this church in my hometown. I could see very plainly people going into that church. Some of them I recognized. And I'm in a service. I'm sitting at Lakewood Church in a service, and I'm begging God to leave me alone because I'm embarrassed. I don't know what to do about this. I was 20 years old. And I saw these people going there all dressed up, and they all looked good. They all came in church happy and you know, just having a wonderful day, as it were. And they came out the back of the church all beat down, tore up, and depressed, and they were coming out worse. I apologize for being such a crybaby. I'm not trying to be that way. I'm trying not to be that way. But they came out worse than they went in. And I heard this voice saying, I want you to do something about that. I'm thinking, what in the world could I do about that? What do you mean? I can't do anything about that. In fact, my very words were back then. I said, no, you got the wrong cat, Jack. I said it 2-3 times. I said, no. I didn't know what he was asking me to do. I'm just happy to be saved. And now I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm getting some answers to my life, and, you know, I'm getting some purpose in my life, and I'm getting my life straightened out. I had no intentions of being a preacher. Are you kidding me? I mean, I love Jesus. I love to minister to people, witness to people. I witnessed to everybody, all my friends and everybody. And, you know, but I just never thought about ministry, teaching, preaching. You got to be kidding. Come on, leave me alone. I'm just Michael Williams, just got saved, you know. Happy to be here and go to heaven. And God says, I want you to do something about that. And it was crushing me. I mean, I've got to be true. My life has been determined by certain voices and visions and experiences in my life, and everybody is. That was a defining moment in my life. He called me that moment. He told me, he says, I am calling you to teach my word. I didn't have an education. I got kicked out of high school in about the 10th grade. I never finished high school. I got a GED. I was working as a laborer on a construction job. I come from a family that had issues, as it were. You know, I mentioned some of those. And I was the most likely to fail. I was not the most likely to succeed. If you'd have seen me and God said, there's your pastor back then, you probably would not be serving God today. I had this hair out like this. I was in drugs, and I was lost and undone. But God just loves doing things like that, doesn't He? He just loves getting people that nobody believes in and doing something with them. And that ought to encourage all of us, no matter who you are, what you're doing, what you're going through. God can use you. There's no question. Don't ever back up when God says go forward. Don't ever say you can't when God says you can't. You know, in that moment, it was a defining moment in my life. I finally did give in. I gave up. I couldn't fight it. I kept saying, God, please, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And I finally said, okay. He said, I'm calling you to teach. I want you to do something about that. I don't want people coming out of church worse than they're going into church. People ought to leave church empowered. They ought to leave church encouraged. They ought to leave church knowing they can make it. They ought to leave church knowing that God loves them. He's for them, not against them. They ought to leave church stirred up, not beat down. And too many times it's just the opposite. And so Teaching's what does that. Good teaching. Teaching from the Word of God. Teaching of what God does and who God is and who you are and what you can do. Amen? And so I finally said yes. And the lady that was ministering, I only heard her one time in my whole life. That was the only time I ever heard her. She stood up and she got through. She prayed for several people, you know. I never did go up for anything. I was just back at the back just trying to keep my composure and stay cool. You know, you want to look cool when you're in church. So she's standing up there, and right before she walked off the platform, she stopped, and she says, whoa, you know, God's done a lot of good things here tonight. He had a lot of people, and we had people saved. But he's called one young man to teach his word and stepped off the platform. I thought, oh, man, there I go again. You know, and it was a confirmation. I didn't even tell Brenda. I went home to our apartment. At that time, it was another apartment. And we went to bed, and Brenda went to sleep in 5 minutes like she always does. And I slipped out of bed and went into the little living room we had in our apartment. And I said, God, I don't know what in the world you're doing. I was embarrassed to tell anybody God called me to teach. I didn't know. But I said, God, I will tell you right now, I have no money. I have no education. I am working as a laborer on a construction job here. But in the name of Jesus, I will go all over the world, and I will preach the Word of God. I will do what you say, and I will teach your word. I don't know how. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you got on your brain. But I give in to this, and I will do this. Went in there and went back to bed. And, of course, you know some of the story. I have been around the world, and I have taught all over. Now I'm pastoring a church. In fact, the last thing that he told me, the big thing that happened to me then, I got saved. Greatest thing ever happened, get saved. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's got to be the second greatest thing ever happened to me. Are you with me? And then ministry-wise, he called me to teach. One day, I'm preaching at Lakewood very often at that time. I'm teaching in the Sunday school, which is a huge class. The Sunday class at Lakewood has about, at that time, seated about 5,000. But you start out with 400 or 500 at 9:30. And then at 10:15, when you dismiss, you had a full house because people are coming in for church. So I'd go from 400 to, you know, almost 5,000 people. It's wonderful. You know, it's a boost for your ego to think that when you start preaching, you go from 400 to 5,000 in the middle of your sermon. I mean, that's good to have that much interest. But anyway, I did that for a few years, and we were over the counters at Lakewood, 175 counters that we were head counters of. We would line them up in altar calls, and we'd have meetings with them and meet with them periodically. All that's going on, and God starts dealing about coming to Wills Point and start a church. I'd come up here one time years ago when Dr. Galloway was having a Bible study, and I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and preach there because I was going to Kenneth Copeland meeting. And so I did the Bible study on Thursday night. Then I came back up and preached actually in a Methodist church, a Sunday morning and a Sunday night in a class. And I spoke at Full Gospel Businessmen in Terrell. And I just preaching out, no big deal, you know. And then God starts dealing with me about coming to Wills Point to start a church. God's my witness. First thing I did was rebuke the devil. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I'm praying in Houston, and God says, I want you to go start a church in Wills Point. And I said, I come against you, devil. No, I'm not trying to get me out of the will of God. That went on for a while, but you know what? I couldn't put the fire out. It was a fire I couldn't put. It was a voice I couldn't kill the voice. It was God. It wasn't the devil. Amen. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And to leave Lakewood and come to a town smaller than the class I'm teaching? Are you with me? There were more people in my class than there are in the population of Wills Point. Think about it.
Yeah.
But God was telling me to come. And, you know, people have been praying here for years for a church like this. Mary Beth was one of those ladies. Several ladies for 10 years been praying for this type of church to come in to Wills Point, Texas. Of course, Dr. Galloway had been here and, you know, was real involved in getting people together and filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, and God was telling me to come. I had several churches offer me their pastorate. One church, they had 300 people, active members. They had a gym. Everything was paid for. They wanted me to come. I said, I can't do it. I believe God's telling me to go to Wills Point, Texas. Where? Where? Wills Point, Texas, yeah. That's where. And several churches would call Lakewood, wanted me to come, wanted if I'd try out, you know. I can't do it. And so we came here. And the rest is history. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We started out in a little building, you know, down the road here, downtown. and then we bought land, and then we built this building, then we got this building paid off, and then we have 45 acres, I think is what it is, 44.3 acres and buildings, and everything's paid for, and we've given over $2 million to missions. Hallelujah. Woo! And I am not the only reason. I'm not the only reason. I mean, because we are all in this thing together. But part of this happened because of a guy named J.D. Love. Was relentless in praying for me. I don't even know where he is. I haven't seen the guy since I left that job 40 years ago. And yet JD will always have a part in whatever happens in International Outreach Church. Are you with me? And that woman that was preaching that night, everybody says, I don't know about women preachers, you know. The Bible says keep silent. Well, there's a context to that silence. Anyway, if you want to try that, you try to keep a woman silent. But
amen.
Thank God for that woman that preached that night. You never know when you're ministering or when you're living for God and you're serving God, you never know where it's going to go. Are you with me? And what you need to do is just stay with it and hang in there with it. Amen. Don't give up on people. I mean, I know my mama had to be praying for me. I know my grandmama had to be praying for me. I know people had to been praying for me. I mean, they didn't see anything happening. I was getting worse and worse and worse. You know, I was the original black sheep of the family, no doubt. Hello. And then I became the white sheep of the family. I mean, my whole family's full of alcoholics. I mean, I'm not saying it derogatorily because many of them have gotten sobered up and, you know, and they've got their lives changed. But jail was just kind of a natural thing. I mean, my own dad put me in jail one time when he was a policeman. I just grew up that way. I grew up that way. All my friends were that way. Many of my friends committed suicide, you know, on drugs and so on and so forth. That was the life I lived. But I don't live that way anymore.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? And my children didn't turn out that way because Mom and I started serving God, turned our life over to God, and broke that curse. We broke that curse. And you can break that curse too if you'll turn your life over to God. Amen? But there's hope wherever you are and whatever you've done. People often think when I get up minister and preach and do all these things, they think I have some degree. I thank God for degrees. Thank God for college. Thank God. I am a studier. I do read. I constantly read. I'm a voracious reader. But my education boils down to a GED I got after I got saved. I felt like I should have one. No one's ever asked me for it. Are you with me? But I did get one. Hallelujah. Well, I just had that on my heart to share. I know some of you heard some of it, pieces of it. Maybe you hadn't heard all of it. Some of you hadn't heard any of it. But anyway, that's my testimony. And the Bible says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. I'm not just preaching something that sounds good. I'm not just putting a message together here week by week. I'm not just trying to encourage you to serve a God I don't know. I'm not just trying to get you to turn your life around because I see a principle here. I'm telling you what's worked for me. I'm telling you my life's been changed. I'm telling you I know Jesus is Lord and Savior, and I will never be the same. Never, ever, ever be the same. And I am compelled to preach to you. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'm under a mandate from heaven. Hallelujah. I had a vision, and I'm going to be true to the vision. I had an experience with God, and I tell you, a guy with experience, a guy with a testimony, trumps the guy with a teaching every day of the week. Amen. Hallelujah.